The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha, and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Moshe Keni Yosef Ben Sarah and Marat Zekanati Yafa Bat Sarah Rav Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenehem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied from Ashelema Moshe Ben Dina Sarah Ruchama Bat Rachel Sarah Bat Rachel Erna Refer Rahim Ufuat Nefesh Ufuat Guf Ufuat Ham Kerabat Abo Vechen Yeran Sum Venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf from Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, and we are starting right from the Gemara. So the Gemara begins. Katvo ala mechubar. The Mishnah said that if a person writes the get on a mechubar, on something that is attached on the ground, and then he pulls it out, signs it, and gives it, it is kashir. So the Gemara asks a contradiction. Va'amart resha en kodvin. What do you mean? The first line of the Mishnah said, "En kodvin b'mechubar lekarka." So how could the Mishnah then follow up by giving me a case where you're writing it on a mechubar? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, vehu shishier makom hatorif. Vechen Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Voshaya, vehu shishier makom hatorif. Vechen Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, vehu shishier Makom HaTorif V'Rabbi El-Azarhi De'amar Ade Mesira Karti. Which means the Gemara says over here we're following the opinion of Rabbi El-Azar. Rabbi El-Azar's opinion is that you don't need Ade Hatima on a get. The main thing that makes the get is the Ade Mesira, the two witnesses that watch the get being given over. Therefore, when the Torah says the Khatav La, Ketiva is not the signatures. The Ketiva is the Ikar of the get. The Ikar of the get is referred to as the Torif. Torif is her name, his name, and the city. That's Ikar HaGet. That's called the Torif. The Tofis is the general text that's in every standard get. So according to the B. El Azar, when the Torah says Vechatav, Vechatav is referring to the names in the get and the city. And therefore he says like this, Ve'achi ka'amar, En kodvim tofes. The beginning of the Mishnah means like this. You cannot even write the standard text of a get. That's called the tofes. Shema yichtov torif. Because I'm concerned, you might come to write the torif. And if you write the names when it's still mechubar, so then you're going to have Vechatav, then you're going to be Tolesh, and then you're going to give, there's going to be a break between the Ketiva and the Netina. And therefore, they don't even want you to write the standard part of a get, because you might end up coming to write the Ikar part of the get, the Torif. However, Ketavo le Tofis, if you only wrote the standard part of the get without putting the names in the city, Vetalsho, and then you pulled it out, Katvo le Torif, then you added the names plus the city, v'natno la kasher. So that's the way you answer the Mishnah. That's going according to the Bir Azar l'chata'ila. We don't want you to write the get, even the standard part of the text called the Tofes, when it's mechubar. Because you might come to write the Ikar part of the get. Ikar part of the get meaning names and city. And when the Torah says v'chatav, it's referring to that part of the get. Now, how do we know it's referring to that part of the get? Because he holds that the B'al Azaz, you don't need witnesses. So therefore, Vechatav can only be meaning the Ikar, part of the get itself, which is the signatures and the name. There cannot be a separation, there cannot be an action between the ketibah and the netina. Therefore, don't write anything with mehubar. Because you might come to write the ikar part, and then there's going to be ketibah, tilisha, netina. However, if you did write the tofis, that's the standard part, and you cut it, no problem, because that's not considered ketibah yet. Then you wrote the toref, and you gave it over, it is okay. Rish Lakish amar, hatmo sheninu, v'rabi me'iri, de'amar, adeh hatima karte. He says, no, I can learn the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, what makes the get a get? The signatures on the get. Adeh hatima karte. They make the get. And therefore, when it says in the Torah, V'chatav la sefer ketut, ketiva is the hatima. That's referring to the actual signatures. Therefore, there cannot be a separation between signatures and giving. V'achi kamar, this is what the Mishnah means. And kotvim toref, I don't let you write the toref, which means ikar haget, the names and the city. Gezerah shema yachtom. Because I'm concerned if I let you write the names in the city, the toref I get, you might come to sign it when it is still attached. And if you sign it when it's still attached, you have a separation between the ketibah and the netirah. However, kadvo la toref, if you wrote the ikar haget, talsho, and then you pulled it out, hatmo, then you signed it, v'natnu la kasher. So you see over here, according to the Rabbi Meir, the way we interpret the Mishnah is adeh hatima kate, which means when the Torah says vechatav, what is vechatav referring to? The hatimot. Therefore, there cannot be a separation between the hatimat get and the netinat get. So therefore, the Mishnah says nechataila, I don't even want you writing the toref, even though without signatures. I don't want you writing it b'mechubar. You know what? Because you might come to write the edim b'mechubar, and then you might come to pluck it out, and it's a problem. However, if you just wrote the toref haget and you didn't sign it, then you pulled it off, and then you put signatures, since there's no separation between the signatures and the giving, it is okay. So there's two ways to learn the Mishnah. It can either be learned according to the Bir Azar with Ade Mesira, or according to the Bi Meir, in the logic of Adeh Hatima. Comes the Gemara now, gives a different case. Ketavo al Heres Shel Asis Nakuv Kasher. The Gemara says, let's say you wrote the get on the pottery of a flower pot that has a hole in it. There's two types of flower pots. Flower pots that have holes in it, and flower pots that don't. This is referring to Asis Nakuv. Now, you didn't write it on the leaf of the flower. You actually wrote it on the pot itself. So, comes the Gemara and says, Kasher. Mishnah says it is Kasher. Deshakil le, v'yahiv le, nihale. Which means, in the case where you gave her the flower pot, but you got to deliver the flower pot to the lady. Now, we're not worried about mechubar over here, because it's not mechubar. It's on the flower pot itself. Okay, so that's the understanding of that. Which means there's no separation between the ketibah and the netina. Okay? However, the Gemara says, al-ale shel atzitz nakuv. An interesting case. You wrote it on a leaf of an atzitz nakuv. Now, atzitz nakuv means the flower pot is on the ground. And you wrote it on the leaf of such a flower pot. So comes the machloket, Abaye Amar Kasher, Verava Amar Pasul. Now we analyze. Abaye Amar Kasher, Abaye says it's Kasher, Teshakil le, V'yahiv le nihale. Because he's still old, you can lift it off the ground and give it to her. You can ask a question, why Atzitz Nakuv, it's considered Mechobal de Karka. So therefore, when you're lifting it off the ground, technically, you're separating it from the karka, so there's a separation between the ketibah and the netinah, because you have a tilisha when you lift it off the ground to give it. So the mefarshim say over here that it's not considered a hefsek. Why? Because it's all done in one action, which means you're just giving it to her. I didn't give it to her, you just lift it up and give it to her. You need a separate maaseh. As opposed to the case where you wrote it on the leaf and you're giving her the leaf itself, where you wrote, and you cut the leaf, and then you give it. Here, it's all one act of giving. You're just lifting it off the ground and giving it. So that's not considered that you have an action separating between the ketibah and the netilah, even though an atzitz nakuv is considered attached to the ground. So technically, when you lift it off, you detached it. So you could come and argue with me and tell me, Rabbi, you have a ketibah, a tidisha, and a netilah. But the mefarshim say no. Since the giving and the tilisha is done in one act, you didn't do an extra maase over here, which I lifted it off the ground and gave it a flower pot. Therefore, it's all one action, as opposed to if you wrote it on a leaf and cut the leaf and then gave it a leaf, that's a separate action. So therefore, according to Abaye, it is indeed kasher. However, according to Rava, pasul. Why? Gezera sheme yiktom. Gezera is, I'm worried, you might not give it a flower pot. You might cut the leaf and give her the leaf that has the get on it. That's a problem, because it's a separation between the ketivah and the netinah. So everybody really holds me not Torah, you have no problem to give it a flower pot. The question is, do you make this gezerah drabbanan? And according to Rava, indeed the gezerah is shema yiktom. Now if you do that, then the get is pasul minat Torah, because you have a separation between the ketivah and the netinah. Good. Now, there is interesting point that the Tosafot on the Amud Rishon Tosafot Dibur Matchi. I'm sorry, on Chaf Aleph Amud Bet Dibur Matchi Yatsa asks the question: why did the Gemara only discuss a case of Atzitz Nakuf? Which means, what about a case of Atzitz She'enu Nakuf? Well, Atzitz She'enu Nakuf is not considered attached to the ground, because since there's no hole on the bottom of the flower pot, it is considered detached. And therefore, Tosafot wants to say in the name of Rabbeinu Shemuel and Rabbeinu Shemaya that an atzitz she'enu nakuf is kasher even according to Rava, because you have no concern. There's no tilisha. Because Rava only spoke in the case of atzitz nakuf that he makes a gezerah that you might come to cut the leaf itself, because you're actually involved in detaching. However, an atzitz she'enu nakuf, where you're not detaching anything when you lift it off the ground, so even Rava will say it is indeed kasher. In any event, the Tosafot then brings the Benu Tam that argues and says that even if you were kotsets it from a davar talush, it's considered a pe'ula nusefet, and therefore the get is going to be pasul as well. Which means it's a machloket amongst the Baalei Tosafot. Do we have a machloket abayen lava by an atzitz she'enu nakuv? One logic says enu nakuv, even if you cut it off, it's not considered attached to anything. There's a big hadush, which means since the flower pot doesn't have a hole on the bottom, there's a shitan that Tosafot that wants to, even according to Rava, there's no problem, because even if you would cut it off, it's detached already. And if you didn't do anything, like we spoke about, right? It's detached already. The only problem, you have a problem of ripping it off, it was attached to the ground, then you tolesh me mechoba le karka. If it's a atzit she'enu nakuv, what's the worst thing you worry about? You might have to rip off the leaf and give it? Ripping is not considered tiddi shekel, it's not attached to the ground. The other Shita Tosafot says, no. That's considered detaching as well. And Rava argues in the atzitz she'enu nakuv as well. So why did you give me the case of atzitz nakuv then? To tell me how far Abaye is lenient. That Abaye is lenient even in a case where the atzitz is attached to the ground. Why? Because he just says you're allowed to give it straight there. It's not considered a hefsek in between. And he's not gozer that you might come to rip the leaf off. That's the Shita of the Tosafot. Okay, comes the Gemara continues. Atzitz shel ehad v'zira'im shel acher. Okay, you have a flower pot. One guy owns the pot and one guy owns the seeds. One guy owns the plant. Okay, the partners. Machar ba'al asitz leba'al zira'im. So the flower pot guy sold the share in the pot to the guy that owns the plant. Kevan shemashach kana. Once he makes what's called meshicha, right, all he has to do is pull it towards him, so then already he is koneh. Okay, what is the logic of that? Because we have a regular rule. Anytime you want to acquire movables, one of the ways to acquire movables is by making a meshicha, you just draw it towards you. Machar ba'al zira'im le'ba'al asitz. Oh, but now let's say the reverse. The guy selling the plant, the zira'im, to the flower pot guy, lo kana ad shi yahzik bezira'im. That's like selling property. Now, by selling property, the only way you have to, you can acquire it in this way is you have to make a hazakah. That's he says, ad shi azik bezeraim, exactly, asid tzavet talush. The flower part itself is considered talush, is detached. V'umikni b'meshicha, zeraim avu mechubarim, but the zeraim is attached to the ground. V'dinam kekarka, v'niknim bekesef, b'shtar u'b'hazaka. V'ad shi yachzik, now how do you make hazaka on these plants? Kegon, denichash, either you prune it, or idar, or you just plow it a little, da'av yachzaka. Ublo yaiv ma'ot kamaydi. What about when he didn't give money? The yaiv zuzem mikni bekesef. If he paid money, so he acquires the seeds with money. What about over here? So again, easy, simple. You want to transfer the flower pot to the guy? Flower pot, he just makes a mishikah. You want to transfer the plant to the guy? He has to make a hazakah because it has a din like karka. Good. Asitz uzra'im shel ehad. Okay, let's say one guy owns the flower pot and he also owns the zira'im that are in it. ומחרן לאחר, and he's selling the whole package to somebody else. יחזיק בזרעים, once the guy makes a kinyan in the zira'im, or either plows it, or does something to the zira'im, קנה עציץ. The עציץ comes as an automatic, he doesn't have to make a kinyan on the עציץ. וזוי ששנים, this we learned in the Mishnah Kiddushin, נכסים שאין להם אחריות, that means movables, נקנים עם נכסים שיש להם אחריות, that's referring to land, בכסף ובשטר ובחזקה. There's a certain kinyan that's called a kinyan agav. Kinyan agav means, if I want to sell a person, let's say my tractor and my field, all he has to do is make a kinyan in the field and the tractor is niknit with it. The tractor comes as an automatic. That's called kinyan agav. That you kone the tractor agav the karka. The same thing over here. I want to sell the flower pot and the plant that's inside of it. So I sell it to the guy. All he has to do is make a kinyan on the karka and the flower pot comes as part of the karka. Just like when I sell karka to somebody. He has to make a hazaka in the land. Whatever's on the land is acquired to him as well. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, let's read one more line in the Gemara. Hechzik be'asitz. Oh, but let's say he makes a hazakah on the flower pot. Right, I'm selling the guy the whole package. Yeah. What does he do? Now let's say he makes a hole in the flower pot or something. He makes a hazakah on the flower pot. Af asitz lo kana. He doesn't even acquire that. Why? Because that's not one of the ways you acquire movables. Ad שיחזיק בזרעים, which means until you make a hazakah in the zira'im itself, which means either you can make a meshichah on the flower pot, but you cannot make a hazakah on the flower pot. So basically, Gemara is saying a basic principle over here. If you kone karka, you kone whatever else is on the karka automatically. That's called nechasim she'en lahem aharayut, niknim im nechasim she'yesh lahem aharayut. So long as you make a hazakah on the land itself. Next case, nikvo ba'aris. Let's say you have a flower pot on the border of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aris. The hole where the flower pot sits is in Israel. So it's definitely getting nourishment from the land of Israel. But it overhangs, the tree overhangs into Chutz La'aretz. So the question is, where is it getting its sustenance? From the air of Chutz La'aretz or from the land of Eretz Yisrael? Nafka minat, terumot, ma'asrot. These are considered product of Eretz Yisrael. That she says, Nakbo ba'aris v'nofo b'chutz la'aris shaya munach ala gibul, on the border, v'nof ha-zira'im, right, the hovering of the zira'im, note chutz la'asitz, it goes over the asitz, chutz la'gibul, over the border. Gemara says, we have a machloket. Abaye amar bartar nakbo azlinan. Abaye says, you go after the hole. The hole's in Israel, it's touching the ground in Israel, it's considered fruit from Israel. Rava amar batar nofo azlinan. And Rava says, no, you go after the overhang. Rashi, batar nekbo azlinan, shimisham hu yonek. Because that's where it's getting its sustenance. וחייב במעשר בתר נופו אזלינן ופטור מן המעשר מן התורה בחוץ לארץ. So comes the Gemara and now restricts the מחלוקת of Abaye and Rabban. Says Gemara says בדי אשרוש, if it's rooted in the ground, everybody agrees that what it's considered from Eretz Yisrael. Because once it takes roots in the ground, the roots are drawing up the sustenance. And therefore you don't go after the overhang. Okay? However, the argument is where it's not rooted in the ground. Good. So then the machloket is, does it go after the hole, where it's Israel, or do you go after the overhang that it's getting sustenance from the air of Chutz La'aretz? Ubede Ashrush, and even if it's rooted, lo pelige. Oh, that's the Gemara's question. Ubede Ashrush, lo pelige. What do you mean? I'll show you that even where it took root, there's a machloket. Ve'atenan, because we learned in the Mishnah. Shte gagot, you have two roofs. Oh, sorry. Ganot. Two gardens. Zu al gabzu. One is on top of the other. You have a garden, and beneath it there's a lower garden. Ve'yarak bentayim. And you have vegetable growing in between, which means it's rooted on top garden, on the top garden, but it overhangs into the bottom garden. So this is a case over here where it's rooted in one area and it's getting sustenance from the air of a different area. It's going over, it's going down, right? It grows down. Okay, so it grows down to the second garden. Rabbi Meir Omer Shir Elyon. Rabbi Meir says it belongs to the top garden. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shir Tachton. And he comes along and says, Rabbi Yehuda says what? It belongs to the bottom. Oh, so what's the machloket over here? So the machloket sounds like that even though it's rooted, do you go after where it's rooted or do you go after where it's hanging into, which is getting the sustenance? So don't tell me that when it's rooted, everybody agrees. I just showed you machloket over between the Biyudan, the Bimeir, that even where it's rooted, there is indeed a machloket. Look at that she. Shte ganot zu al gav zu. Vizu etzel zu. They're next to each other. The karkaita echad gavoa mechaberta. One garden is higher than the other. The gidul shela zakuf, right? And it's you have like the gidul. The wall is straight, separating the gardens. The yarak bintayim, and the yarak, the vegetables are growing in between. The gidul agivoha on the higher part. The achshavu nishrash bekarkaot shel alyon. Right, it's rooted on the top garden, but it's overhanging into the shade of the lower garden. So it says machloket between the Bimeir and the Biyuda. Comes, so what do you see? That even when it's rooted, you have a machloket. Comes Gemara and says, no, hatam kediktani tama. No, over there we gave a different reason. Amar Bimeir, ma im yirtze enyon litol et afaro. And kan yarak. He says, you know why it belongs to the top guy? Because he can ruin the whole thing. He can take his afar away. Let him take his afar. And what happens to the tree? What happens to the yarak? You have nothing. So therefore, he's in control of it. Therefore, it's his. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'im yirtzeh tachton, lemalot et ginato afar, en kan yarak. He looks at the other way. He says, he can fill up his whole garden with yarak, with afar, and then this top guy has no more yarak either because it's not going to overhang into the airspace. So therefore the machloket is, since each guy can technically have control over it, this guy can fill his garden take away the afar, and if we have no more yarak, or this guy can fill up his garden with afar to level it out, and also you have no more yarak. So that's the way we're looking at it. It's not a machloket. B'da ashrish, everybody I can tell you holds what? You go after the place that it's rooted. Here the machloket, we have two gardens. One's a little higher than the next. Who really has the control of the yarak? Look at that she. Kediktari tamashim yirtze tahton lemalot ginato. Right, he can fill his lower garden with afar. Ve'o'il biyadon limchot. Right, he can do that. He can do such a thing. Vigorem layarakaze zocheba velav mishumatayatnof, which means he's not being zochet to the fruit because the overhang is hanging over into his yarak.
it is in its field, ela because he has an ability to fill up his field with afar, and therefore, if he fills it up with afar, there's no yarak. So therefore, since he has the ability to do that, it's considered in his domain. Comes the Gemara and says, "Va'akateh b'da'ashrosh lo pelige." Back to the question: you tell me when it's rooted, there's no machloket. Ve'atanya ilan miksato ba'aris u'miksato b'chutzal la'aris. You have a tree. Part of it is in Eretz Yisrael, and part of it is in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? Tevel v'cholin me'uravin ze baze. Every fruit that's on the tree is part tevel and part cholin. Tevel is fruit that you didn't take to the Umot Ma'asot, and cholin is fruit that you don't have to take to the Umot Ma'asot. So since it's half in and half out, every fruit now is half tevel, half cholin. Devrei Rabbi. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer. No. Hagadel b'chiyuv hayav. The part of the tree that grows in Eretz Yisrael is hayav. Hagadel b'ftun. The part that goes outside, patur. Now, what's the case over here? My lab miksat nofo ba'aris or miksat nofo ba'otzla'aris. Must be talking about over here. You have a tree that's rooted into the ground. But what? You have part of the north is in Eretz Yisrael, and part of the north is in Chutzlah. So you see what? Even in a rooted tree, you have a machloket. Yeah. How you split it up? Right? One rabbi says the whole tree goes after where it's rooted, and therefore every fruit has a deen of Eretz Yisrael and a deen. Actually, every fruit is considered split. Has a deen of Eretz Yisrael and a deen of Cholin. Tevel and Cholin. Whereas according to the second Shita, Rashbag, he says it depends where you go from. You go from the side of Israel, it's considered Chayav, and the one that grows on the other side, with it, it's on the other side, is Patur. Look at Rashi. Tevel v'chonin me'urabin zebaze. En lecha peri be'ilan hazeh. There's not a fruit in this tree. She'en miksato min ha'aris, shu tevel. ומקצתו מחוץ לארץ שהוא חולין לפי שהיניקה מתערבת, which means the sustenance gets mixed up in every fruit because it's getting sustenance from Israel and חוץ לארץ ונפקא מינה. Now what do you do with this fruit of it? How do you take מעשות on this fruit of it? ספק, you're part table, part the חולין שאין מעשתים מתמל ודאי עליו. You're not allowed to take from ודאי תבל on something that has safek tevel. Davi min ha-chayuv al-aptur. Ve-lo mimenu al-tevel vaday. No, you're allowed to take from it to poter tevel vaday, because you're allowed to take from safek to vaday. I speak out again. You have, according to the first shita, is that Rabbi Meir? First shita is Rabbi. Rabbi says, when you have this tree over here, if it's in Israel, if it's in Chutz-Laaretz, every fruit on the tree is receiving dual sustenance. Apart from Israel, apart from Chutz-Laaretz. Therefore, every fruit has a deen of tevel and cholin. Part of it you have to take to the Mot Ma'asur, part of it you don't. What do we have to know that for? You have to know that for because we have a law by taking to the Mot Ma'asur. You're not allowed to take from Safik stuff on Vadai stuff, nor are you allowed to take from Vadai Hayuv to cover Patur stuff. So therefore, this stuff over here is part cholin, Safik. Part of it is cholin and part of it is tevel, so you'd be only allowed to take Ma'asir from itself. You were not allowed to take from the Vadai onto it, or it to poter a vadai. But the point is, according to that Shitav Rabbi, it's getting yinika from both Israel and Chutz La'aretz. The next Shita, Hagadel b'chayuv, that's Hashmag. Masha b'toch Eretz Yisrael, that's considered those fruits, which means like you divide the tree. Whatever part, the overhang that's in Israel, those fruit on that, for example, the fruit on the right side is considered tebel, and the fruit on the left side is considered cholin, so to speak. So you split up the tree, which means the sustenance goes depending on where the overhang is, which means you see, even though it's still about a rooted tree, you still have a machloket. So comes the Gemara and says, my lab miksat nofo ba'aretz, miksat nofo b'chutz la'aretz. Gemara says, lo, miksat sharashim ba'aretz, or miksat sharashim b'chutz la'aretz. I'll tell you, really, everybody agrees, if all the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, it goes after the roots. And really, I'll tell you, nobody's arguing it goes after the roots, because that's the main sustenance of the tree. What are we talking about? Where even the roots are split up. Half the roots are in Israel and half the roots are in Chutz La'aretz. Oh, so if that's the case, I understand the first shita. I understand Rabbi. That's why every fruit over here has dual sustenance in it. They have sustenance of Israel, sustenance of Sa'aret, it's Tevil and Cholin. However, what's the logic of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, which means every fruit should be split? How could you tell me the stuff on the right side is Israel, the stuff on the left side is on side? Bottom line, the roots are on both sides. Demafsik tsunma. Because we're talking about there's a rock underneath the ground and it's separating the roots. And therefore the roots are just sustaining whatever is on its side. It's not getting mixed up. Because the rock is separating in between that. She says, Shen Sela Mavdil Be'emsa Shen Hashim Umafsikim Ada Geza. It goes all the way up to the trunk. It's not sharing its sustenance. I mean, the roots on the right side are feeding the roots on the fruit on the right side, and on the left, which is Israel. Israel, Otsaharis, Otsaharis. My Tama, did it be? So, what's the logic of it be? If there's a rock on the bottom, what's the reason? Then why do you say every fruit is considered mixed? What happens is, you're right, it's separated on the bottom. When the sustenance goes up the trunk, it gets mixed up in all of the fruit. And therefore everything gets mixed up, and therefore every fruit has a din of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and says, Bemai kamepalge, what's the root of this argument? Mor sabar avira mibalbel, umor sabar aydehudeka'e. The mahlokin is, does the air mix up the sustenance and the nutrients? According to the B.A., even though on the bottom it's separate, once it goes up the trunk and it goes in the air, all the sustenance gets mixed up in all the fruits. And Ashbag says, the air does not mix up the nutrients, and if each one is separate. Look at that sheep. Mor sabar avira mibalbil. Afapi shekol ma sheyesh min ha-shirashim bekarka vimuvdal. Even though everything by the shirashim is separated by the rock, since when it goes up the trunk into the air, therefore it gets nutrients from each other, therefore each fruit is a din of Eretz Yisrael Chutz-Laaretz, which means everybody's going to agree, what? When all the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, it goes after Eretz Yisrael. The only argument, everybody agrees, you always go after the roots. A machlok rabbi is when the roots are separated. Roots are separated, and you have a rock underneath the ground, mamas separating the roots. So the Ashbag says, since it's separated on the ground, when it goes up the tree, it's the stuff in Israel stays in Israel fruit, and the stuff on the other side stays on Sa'aretz fruit. Nafkaminah, the Israel side is all tevel, meaning you didn't take to the Motem Ma'asot, and the other side is all holin. However, according to the B, he says, I don't care if it's separated on the bottom. When it goes up in the airspace, it mixes up all nutrients. Every fruit has tevil and cholin. Yeah, when it goes up the trunk into the air now, up to the fruit, each fruit is going to be mixed with nutrients on both sides. But everybody will agree, if the shanashim are all in one place, that's the place of the yinika. So the Gemara, its statement above stands true, that nobody argues when they are mushrash. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, we talked about in the Mishnah machloket between Tanakama and the Biyuda ben Betera. Tanakama said you're not allowed to write on diftera. Diftera is parchment that was erased. Okay, because we're worried about you're going to have a problem with the edim. What's going to be the problem? If you're writing on erased paper, so now we're concerned that the edim are going to sign on it. They're also signing on an erased part. Somebody's going to come along, the lady namely, let's say she's going to cross out some of the conditions and write new conditions, and nobody's going to think twice because they're going to see the Edim signed on erased paper also. So I think the whole thing is erased, and therefore the Edim signed, they knew what they were signing, and then we're going to have a problem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says, even on an erased paper, it's okay. Now the question is, let's see the Gemara first. Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, I go back to the Mishnah because it is a machloket. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera and kotvim b'hachamim makshirim. I stand corrected. Hachamim am makshir, Rabbi Yehuda is osir. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar v'chaya bar ase mishemei de'ula shlosha oroten. There are three types of skins or parchments, we'll call them. Matzah, heifa, v'diftera. What's the difference? What are they? Matzah kemashma'o. Matzah, like it sounds like matzah, like the matzah that we have on Pesach. Matzah. De'lo maliyah, it's not treated at all. They don't put salt on it, because they used to treat the parchments with salt. Udlo kamiyah, they don't put flour on it. Udlo afitz, and they don't put gallstones on it either, which means it's raw. Meaning it's like matzah, flour and water, right? No ingredients. So they call this parchment that's untreated matzah, because it doesn't have any additives to it. So the Gemara says, Lemay el cheta leotza'at Shabbat, which means, what is the halakha that you have to know with this item when it, regarding Shabbat? Ve'kamma shi'uro, how much of this parchment do you have to carry on Shabbat to be hayav? Kediktani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, kedel latzur, in order enough to cover mishkal ketana, the smallest weight. Ve'kamma amar Abaye, ki rivad de rivad de pumpedita. The smallest weight is a rivah of a rivah pumpedita, and they used to want to cover the weight. You could put a little leather over the weight in order to protect it so it doesn't get hasir, so it doesn't lose from its size. So therefore, on Shabbat, you're not hayav until you carry something that is significant. It has to have a value, has to have a worth. So the Gemara wants to know, when you're carrying this this leather called matzah, what's the smallest amount if you carry it on Shabbat that you're going to be hayav if you go from the public domain to the private domain, or vice versa? So the Gemara says the amount that takes to cover the smallest weight, which is a nevad, the nevad, the pumpedita. Look at Rashi. Shalosh oroten, there's three skins. Halukin b'shmoten, they have different names, u'b'shi'orehen. And they have different shi'orim for carrying on Shabbat. Kemashma'o, the first one is as it said. Just like a matzah doesn't have any additives to turn into bread, this parchment or this leather over here is untreated at all. Kamiyah, there's no flour on it. Lemayil cheta, which is, you said that there's a halakha regarding the shi'urim, the amount. Amount of what? Mashkolet shel ofaret, asula liyot put, pochetet umahapin ota be'or, shelo tehen nishufet, upohetet. Rashi calls the small weight a mishkolet. Rashi says the mishkolet, the smallest weight in pumpedita, was actually made out of lead. And the lead was very sensitive, and therefore they used to cover it in order that it doesn't lose from its weight. So again, if somebody asks you, on Shabbat, the person's carrying this or called matzah, what's the minimum shi'ur hashuv, the amount that it takes to cover this mishkolet, which is this lead weight, which is the smallest shi'ur. Why are they covering it so it doesn't lose its measure? Next item.
Why is it telling us?
What
this?
Yeah.
What is it? Heifa is the second type of leather. Demaliyah, in this case, it is salted. Velo kamiyah velo afitz. No flour, no gold. Demayil keta leotzaat Shabbat, carrying on Shabbat. Vekama shi'ur, what's the shi'ur kedetnan? Or kedeh la'asot kamiyah, the shi'ur that it takes to write an amulet, that is considered shi'ur hashuv. Diftera, now we get to the third type of parchment or paper, that's called diftera. Demaliyah vekamiyah velo afitz. They salt it, they put flour on it, but they do not put the gall nuts on it. What is the halakha for the shi'ur? For carrying on Shabbat. What's the shi'ur of this diftara that you're going to be ayav on Shabbat? The amount that it would take to write a get on it. Now that must be going like the opinion of the rabbis that say you're allowed to write a get on diftara, even though it is erased, which is even though it is forgeable. Now comes the Rashi and says, "Kerabbanan demachshle umiu klav gamur, but regular legitimate klav demaliyah, the kamiyah, the afitz. That's already all the processes are done to it. La Shemeor. That's not called skin anymore. Umishumachi lo manu bahadayu. That's why we didn't count it in this braita. I'm only telling you unprocessed klaf, which is called or, which is called skin. But klaf, which is treated in all three ways, that's already in a different category. And what is the shi'ur of klaf to be hayav on Shabbat? So we learned the Masechet Shabbat of Ayin Tet, klaf kede lichtov bo parasha ketana shebetefilin. In order to write the smallest parasha, because the parasha of Shema of the tefilin. Diftera, however, is not kasher for tefillin. That's why it chose the shiur of a get according to the opinion of Hachamim. So that is the opinion of the Gemara regarding those three items. Okay, again, diftera is klaf that is not totally treated and processed. And therefore, when you erase on it, the erasing is not evident. See, it's forgeable paper. See, diftera, when you erase, you can't notice that you erased anything. Therefore, it's forgeable. Therefore, the biyuda ben betera says no good. Because the lady can fool around there. She can erase the conditions and write new conditions. Nobody's going to know the difference. However, the achamim say it is kasher. Now, we have to understand, why would the rabbi say it's kasher? Seemingly, you're leaving the get now vulnerable to forgery. Again, diftera is, it's not noticeable when you erase. So basically, she brings a get to the Beit Din. You have the signatures on it. Now, how do we know that she didn't come and erase some conditions and add some more things to it? So the Gemara asks, Man Hakamim Makshirim. Man Hakamim. Who are these rabbis? Amar Rabbi El Azar. Rabbi El Azari. It is indeed Rabbi El Azar de Amar Adem Mesida Karti. Very important point, which means like this. According to Rabbi El-Azhar, what makes the get? The two guys that watch the get being given over. And therefore, what am I worried about? The Edem Mesira will see the get. They see the conditions that are written in the get. And therefore, what do I care if you use diftera? Which means they saw the conditions themselves, so nobody can contest anything. The witnesses themselves read the get before it's given. Therefore, she cannot come along and change anything because the two witnesses over there, they were there at the time of the giving of the get and they read it. Oh, I look at Ashi now. De amar hatimata get ena mina Torah. You don't need signatures. Velo sagi limit me velo adem misira. You got to give it actually in front of people. De inuhu de adekinidu. They make the get. How do you know you need witnesses? Because it says erva, it says davar mimamon. We have a gezerah shava from davar shemerva tamamon. Vehilkach lo haishinan ledil memezayfa. We're not worried that she might come to forge it. Why? Da amran serichin lemikliyah. Didn't we learn above that adem is have to read the get? Dihava betena'a. And if there was a condition in the get, inu yada'eh. They know the condition. Uman de amar adem misira ikar, and the one that says adem misira is the ikar. Haba linase, right? She comes once to get married. She brings the get. Who has to come and validate the get? You bring the adem misira that saw the get being given over, so she can't fool around and change the condition because the adem misira would add. They know exactly what the conditions were. Sirikala vi adim shenim salif neem. However, according to the Bimeir, how do you validate the get? You got to prove that the signatures are the real signature. Because he holds adi hatimah karti. Now, how do you prove a signature? Bring somebody that knows their signatures. But those people don't necessarily know what they signed to. Therefore, it's forgeable. Therefore, the opinion that says diftera is okay is Rabbi El-Hazar that says adi misira karti. I'm going to repeat that to you. Lady comes to Beit Din with a get according to Rabbi El-Hazar. I want to get married. What are they going to tell her? All right, we got to validate it over. How do you validate it? You bring the adem misira. They say, yeah, we were there, we saw the get. They say, by the way, do you remember the conditions of the get? Yeah, it was he promised her whatever it is, so and such and such a thing. So they're able to check the get. She's not going to be able to forge it because the adem misira, they're the ones that they're going to trust and they remember the condition. But according to the Bimeir, what's going to happen? She brings the get to the Beit Din. Okay, validate it. How do you validate it? You bring two people to come along and say, we know their signatures. But that doesn't mean they know exactly the conditions of the get. So therefore, if the paper is going to be written on forgeable paper, She could fool around, erase the conditions, put new conditions over there. All you're doing is validating signatures. You're not validating what is said in the shtar. So if a hachamim is the bilazah that says adem mesina karte, comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar." Oh, lo yekshir Rabbi Elazar. Again, they have two Rabbi Elazars here. One is the Amora and one is the Tana. Again, lo yekshir Rabbi Elazar ela le'altar. He only says it's good immediately when they come to validate it immediately. Aval mikan ad asara yamim, but after 10 days, lo hayshinan dilma ave bet Tanaa. We're concerned that maybe there was a condition, she's going to forge it and they forgot. Yeah, they don't remember everything. How long are you going to do it? They're going to come back. They remember every single condition that was in the shtar. So he gives them a 10-day window. Which within 10 days, if she wants to get, you know, to validate the gear, bring the edim over there, no problem. But after 10 days, now already even the bi'azad is going to say you can't write on diftira. Because now you have a problem.
What's the 10 days for?
Because we assume that the guy there, Adem Yisrael, can remember the condition up to 10 days. Look at Ashi. Ela le'alta. Shevi'ato le'betin b'yom shenimsarla. Hey, she brought to get to betin on the day that she got it to validate it. Le'odia she girusha. What she wants to prove that she's divorced. V'yitiru halinaseh. Now give her a head to get married. De'kevan de'idana ava. Since it just happened, u'be'edem Yisrael. Lo hayishinan le'ziyufa. But after 10 days already, now already we're concerned that what? V'zayfateh uchvar shakhuha ha'edim. The edim are going to forget what the condition was, so she has an ability to fool around on this. Comes the Gemara and says, V'rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu mikan ad asara yamim. Even after 10 days, there's no problem. De'im ita davi betena'eh. Midkar Dakhir. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't suspect that the Adem Misira are going to forget. Therefore he says it is indeed Kasher always. Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, last point. Lo Ikshir Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar the Amora is saying regarding Rabbi Elazar the Tana. Lo Ikshir Rabbi Elazar Ela Bigitin. Oh, that which you say diftiraz okay. Diftirah again is the paper that you cannot notice when you erase it. That's only kosher by gitin. Aval b'shar shtarot lo. But by other shtarot of business transactions, no good. Dichtiv untatem b'chlicheres lema'an ya'amdu yamim rabim. And you'll put the shtarot in an earthenware vessel in order they will stand for many days. What is being said here? Rashi. Ela b'gitin. What's the purpose of the get? The purpose of the get is she can produce it in front of a betin, so betin will allow her now to get married. Now she doesn't need the get anymore. She doesn't have to hold on to it. Once she brings it to betin, and betin validates it the way they validate it, so then already there's a call that goes out from Betty. This lady's a pinuya. She's permissible to get married. She can take the shtar now and throw it away. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar will be lenient. Write it on diftera. Let the edim come along. Once they validate it, since she doesn't have to hold on to the get anymore, so if we have no problem. However, aval, bishtarot de kaima leguvaina. Now, the shtar you need. What do you need a shtar for? To get payment from. The start is the key to get the payment. If you lent money, you need that start to get paid. V'dilma lo mapik le'adzman aruch. What are we worried about? You're going to hold on to the start for a long time. And what's going to happen? V'yishkihu adem misirat davar. The adem misirat, going to forget the conditions. V'samchina na'adeh hatima. Now you're going to rely on the adeh hatima. And they, when you validate to Adi Hatima, which means the lender can come along now, fool around. Of course, it wasn't $1,000, it was supposed to be $10,000. And what? They're going to rely on the Adi Hatima. They know it was written, but you're only validating the other witnesses, and therefore you're going to come around and have a problem. So therefore, the Bilazaz is only was lenient by a get, because you know what? You don't got to hold on to the get. She'll bring the get right away to Betin. Once they validated that it's a kosher get, everybody, there's a word goes out in the whole community, she's pinuya, she's mutet, take the get, you can throw it away. So you don't need it. However, a shtar for a loan or a sale, you're going to need this over here for a long time. Now, in this case, long time, what am I worried about? I'm worried about that you're going to come along now and you're not going to have the Adeh Mesira. You're going to rely on the Adeh Hatima. Or I'm worried also that the Adeh Mesira, after a long time, could forget the conditions. And what can happen now? The Mavir can erase out. And therefore, there's not going to be any proof over here. He says clearly, we're worried about two things. The Adeh Mesira, that's the main thing. Adeh Mesira is going to forget. You're going to rely on the Adeh Hatima. And there's no way to, unless they come and they remember, they're going to forget also. And usually you don't validate with the Adeh Hatima themselves. You get somebody else to recognize the signatures. Oh, and we have a pasuk that says that's the purpose of these type of shtarot. You don't throw out the shtar right away. You got to hold on to it. Even in regular shtarot, you can write it on diftera. But it says you got to stay for a long time. Over there, it's coming to give you good idea. What is good idea? Which is not telling you have to write it that way. It's giving you a good idea. Listen, since the shtar, usually you hold on to it for a long time. For your benefit, write it on a shtar that should not be forgeable. Don't write it on diftera. But that's just the idea. But halakhically speaking, you can rely on the diftera and you rely on the memory of the Adeh Mesira, and therefore halakhically you have no problem. You got a deen, even if you wrote it on the item that you call this dayev, the shtar is kasher. So long as you have Adeh Mesira, that will validate. If you only have Adeh Hatima, then you have a problem. But if Adeh Mesira, Kotabil Azar, Bashar Shtarot, that'll say you need Adeh Mesira as well. So then you'll be able to do this. So we have two mahlokot that's between the Biyohanan and, are we talking the Shtakish over here? Between the Biyohanan and Rabbi El Azar. So you have over here two mahlokot. Actually, you have, right, the Biyohanan and the Amura. What's the first mahlokot? The first mahlokot is over here, the time frame. According to the Bil Azad, you got a 10-day window for when you're doing it, get on diftera. According to the Bil Anan, as long as you want. We don't suspect that they're never going to forget. Now we go to Shah Shtarot. According to the Bil Azad, Rabbi Azad, the Tana only was made kale by diftera by a get, because you don't need it. Right? You validate it, it's over. So we're concerned, what? It's not going to forget, you have a problem of the validation. It's going to be subject to ziyuf. However, the Bihanan comes over, even by Shah Shtarot. But it says, it's giving you good advice, because you're going to want to protect yourself. But the Ma'asim, even if you order on a diftah, on a paper that can be mizuyaf, the shtar will be kashir, so long as you're validated with the Adeh Mesira. Baruch Amin.